Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 112, episode 1 of Daredevil Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, fuck the Koch brothers and their Koch industries and fuck Fox News. It's Monday, December 9th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. from a town known as Wheeling, West Virginia. Rode a guy with a wind gun across the land. And his Darren Leaf exploding made him a legend, Jacko blowing. East to west go his restless hands. That's courtesy of Zeit Gang, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Want it that gray. Tell me why he can't talk about Tuscany. Tell me why he gotta impeach this cream. Tell me why cold brew better never go away. But I want it that way.
Woo.
Well,
oh, just chills
I'm over
down
here
my spine.
Losing in my collar.
Wow, goosebumps, goose pimples. Shout out to @StanleyAttitude for that one. And I'm guessing this is a Stanley from The Office reference based on your avatar.
And shout out to Zeit Gang, just TDZAK.
Okay.
That's who I just said. Shout out to Zeit Gang.
Yeah,
who I do like to shout out, all our fans.
Who's that?
Love the fans.
Who the fuck is that?
Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by that voice you're hearing. The hilarious and talented, very first face on Mount Zeitmore.
What?
Jamie Loftus.
What? L is for the way you look at me.
All right.
O is for the only one I see. F is for my page on Wikifeet. T is for rat teens. It's on IMDb. I made it in 2017. U is for unique takes on TDZ.
Yeah.
S is for Team Dry Scabs, which is which is what I think that Beetlejuice comes.
Yeah.
Boom. The end. Thank you. Thank you.
It was out of, yumma.
Didn't try to say. It's out of my range. Couldn't go up, couldn't just go down. What
range is all subjective.
Kind of wrapped it instead.
Yeah, I think honestly, I feel like what the problem was that song is not actually in your range.
Right.
It's not, that's
they made
true.
They made a mistake.
Yeah.
They made a mistake.
They made a mistake by not rapping it.
That was a mistake.
A lesson that we all learned just then.
He rap it.
Who was that from?
I just wish. Oh, that was from Steve.
Steve.
S-H-33-V.
Well done, Steve.
Thank you, Steve. He also said, Jamie. I'll be honest, it needs work. And I think that we just learned that it does not need work.
No, it does not.
The source material needs work.
Perfect as it is. Yes, yes.
You know, that's the thing that like a lot of writers of hit songs, they'll say, you know, oh, I just dashed this off in a second. I didn't put much work into it. It's a piece of crap. But it ends up like getting out of your own way. That's mm-hmm. what makes a hit song.
That's beautiful.
Like we just heard from Jamie. Mm-hmm. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, Jamie. But first, okay. We're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about. We now know the brand of makeup Trump uses, among other things. We're going to talk about Bloomberg's truly revealing interview with Gayle King.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about Mayor Pete working for McKinsey, the CIA of capitalism. We're going to talk about the president. We're going to talk about the Republicans. We're going to talk about Bill Barr. We're going to talk about all that shit, that UPS truck driver at the end of last week. Uber's terrifying stats. Clint Eastwood's upcoming mega screed. All of that and plenty more. But first, Jamie, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
My search history includes this week, Italian pizza guy sign.
Oh,
I was looking for, did you see, I tweeted it out. I was looking for a very specific piece of Chuck E. Cheese decor from, I would say, maybe the late 80s.
Uh-huh.
I've seen pictures of it. It was in my Chuck E. Cheese growing up. I'm like, I wonder, because now they're, you know, they're taking all the old shit out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good time to be collecting stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, shout out to Stuff, as with my friend Steve.
Uh-huh.
Also, someone in Zeitgang, I just want to shout out really quick. The last time I was on and I talked about the animatronics and how I'm looking for one, someone in an undisclosed location who wishes to remain anonymous mailed me one of the guitars that appears on stage at Chuck E. Cheese. They were able to swipe it from a location. And now I have a cheese guitar hanging on my wall. But I was looking for Italian pizza guy sign. And it does. I found one. I have to drive to Michigan to get it, so I can't have it. But it says on it, it's Pasquale the chef.
Uh-huh.
Right? And on it, it says Italian pizza guy. I've got a pizza.
Oh my God.
And then there's four pizza chefs. It's supposed to be like an album cover, like a platinum album called I've got a pizza.
Yeah.
By Italian Pizza Guy.
Where is it at?
Is that like a play on In a Gotta Da Vida?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
I just know that it costs $350.
No, it does not. Where?
It costs so much money, and you can only pick it up in Michigan.
Where
in
Michigan?
Oh, I was going to guess Italy. Where it's
on
so
the hand?
Italian.
It very much is. Wait, where is it? It says local pickup only $350.
only. The low, low price of?
In Shelbyville, Michigan. They refuse to ship.
Shelbyville?
Where's Shelbyville?
Like the Simpsons?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's right next to Springfield.
Yeah. Well, who knows? I mean, you know, the Zeitgang runs far
wants
and wide.
To go on an errand to Shelbyville, Michigan.
We'll prepay for it, pick it up, just package it and ship it.
$350. But there's only one. They've got the market.
I'm sure a listener out there has access to something like this. If we, as a community, come together to locate some of these casted away items from the bygone old school Chuck E. Cheese. We can find these things.
Avocado pizza.
There was a dude on Instagram, the homie Jacob hits me up and DMs me photos of Taco Bell drive-thru signs. He's
way.
You want these? And I was like, bro, I would pick them shits up.
The Viking is a powerful force.
Yeah.
Force of nature.
I mean,
do you think he went out and stole them to impress you?
Nah, they were...
like that guy who shot the Reagan for Jodie Foster?
Apparently, like, the signs were decommissioned, and some kid who worked at Taco Bell, like, handed them off to his homie, and he's just like, yo, I don't know, I got these signs.
I love it.
Jamie, what's something that's underrated?
Something that's underrated is being a Fairweather fan.
Okay.
I like it. I was
it's
just
comfortable.
I was just telling Miles for the next 2 weeks I'm gonna get really into the Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars?
Yeah, Star Wars. I'm a big fan until December 21st and then forget that they ever happened.
Yep.
I don't care about their fandom. I don't care about the lore. I watched two of them. I've never seen two consecutive Star Wars. I've seen one from each trilogy. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on.
Are you saying Star Worms or Star Worms?
Like
worms.
It warms your heart. Warms
it's warm heart. In
okay.
space.
Yeah, got it.
It warms your heart to watch them.
Yes. Exactly.
Which is why it's just a helpful, what is it? Not pneumatic.
Yeah.
Mnemonic device.
Yes.
I'm going to see.
Remember wars. You have to read.
Worms.
Star Worms, what's it called?
Okay, got it.
It's warm. It's Star Worms.
Yeah.
I'm going to get really into Star Worms for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you were saying earlier that you're excited about the Rise of Skywalker because of the character Mike Skywalker.
Mike Skywalker, Luke's brother. That's not to freak anyone out, but I was the one that
spoiler.
I bought John Boyega's script on eBay. He famously left it underneath the hotel bed.
Yep.
I bought it.
Skywalker.
They're gonna introduce. It's kind of. I mean, I know that they did a lot setting up a female protagonist, but they really undercut her in this new one. And the Rise of Skywalker. It's Mike.
It's about Mike.
It's his brother Mike.
Mike.
Luke's brother Mike.
But everyone pronounces it like Mike. Mike, the very specific way. Where part of the country is that in? Where everyone says like Mike.
Mike.
Not Mike, but Mike.
Mike.
Anyway, let us know.
Is that Philly?
I don't know. Definitely.
I don't know.
On the east side.
What's something you think is overrated?
The thing is overrated is releasing a podcast. It's hard. Did you know?
Yeah.
So the last time I was here, I also was like, hey, my Mensa podcast is coming out very soon. Guess what? It's not out yet. You know why? Because releasing a podcast is really hard. I've been like so frustrated this like past week and a half because I have it done. And then you have to like go on all that. You have to like
submit it, get it accepted.
You have to go to like pray to Steve Jobs' ghost.
Yeah.
And like it's crazy.
Well, how much blood did you offer at the altar?
I don't
Steve Jobs?
Have a lot of blood left. I'm almost completely dry.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this time of year is a bad time to need my blood.
And you're team dry scabs?
I'm team dry scabs.
Oh,
I'm a clotter. I'm a clotter through and through. So I don't like to bleed out. And so I didn't offer that much. And so it's just been taking a long ass time.
It's weird in the instructions that they say you have to offer a human baby's worth of blood.
Yeah.
But they say don't like
but
actually
no
kill a human
image,
baby,
yeah.
but just that's the measurement.
But that's like what you should be picturing in terms of volume.
Yes. Well, depending on which Necronomicon you learned off
of. Yeah. That's a lot of syllables.
Yeah. Well, the third edition began to define what a baby's worth of blood is. It's about 2 liters.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Okay. I should have offered installments. Or
you
something.
Gotta fill up a big
Maybe
old
a
Shasta
plan.
2 liter bottle.
Pour it on Steve Jobs' grave.
Imagine
human baby's worth, and then parentheses Shasta bottle. Shasta bottle.
If you ring a baby out over a Shasta bottle, you will fill it.
Shout out to all the parents out there who this is bumming out.
The idea of someone walking around with a Shasta bottle, two-liter Shasta bottle full of blood, but with the Shasta label still on it, I get a big kick out of.
It's not what you think. It's not Shasta.
Ew, Shasta. It's blood.
It's my blood.
It's clotted cow blood.
It's a bottle of clotted blood.
You mean black pudding?
Yumma, yumma, yumma.
What is a myth?
Ooh, here's a myth. It's been a great year for women. This is a myth that comes up every year. Everyone's like, oh, this is the year. It's been a good year.
We nailed it, guys.
We did it. We let Elizabeth Banks direct this year. We did it.
We're even.
I just found out. So I have not been really keeping up with
the Kardashians.
The Kardashians, first of all. Uh-huh. And that is, I've been paying a legal fee for that. but I found out that, you know, like there's this, I don't know. It's my least favorite current
pop culture trend, but Bombshell is about to come out, right? And that's about the like Fox News Me Too moment, mm-hmm. right? It's the first big movie. It's about the Me Too movement.
Oh, the movie Bombshell.
The movie Bombshell.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, oh, I'm excited. This has got a great cast. It's an interesting story. And then I found out it's being directed by the director of the Austin Powers trilogy. And I ripped all of my skin off. I like, it is,
Jay Roach.
Is not a great,
also
Jay
the director of Meet the Parents and I think Road Trip.
And I believe Dinner for Schmucks. Who watched Dinner for Schmucks and is like, this is the guy that's got to tell the Me Too story? It just pisses me off much. It's been a great year for guys who directed really like big blockbuster comedies in the late 90s and early 2000s, making a dramatic turn. It's fucking bullshit, man.
Yeah,
it makes me mad.
I wonder if it's because there are other, it's either those comedies or then movies like Recount or Game Change that was about the Palin thing. And they're like,
right.
He directed the Dalton Trumbo. He directed the Dalton Trumbo movie.
Trumbo.
But there's just no, like, there's no conceivable reason why this movie needed. It's not even like a, I don't know shit about Jay Roach. I hope he's a lovely person. But I'm like, that, you fucking kidding me? It's also written by a man. There's no,
right.
There's no, like, women involved. Like, it's just, it's so frustrating.
Well, I think that's where
another bad year for
despite women. It all, like, even though I think it's like how the studios are like, this will be a great, it's like a Me Too movie, but then they still can't get past their habits of how the industry works. It's like, yeah, get Jay Roach on it. Yeah, some other dude to write it.
Roach has got this. He's met a woman before. It's just like, the qualifying factor of being like, well, like, he hasn't raped a woman, so he can probably tell the
story. He can tell the story. Yeah,
he innately
understands like these kind of power dynamics.
Oh, it's exhausting. The only way you can be a female director is if you've already been a famous woman for 20 years. That is the current strategy.
Right.
It's just like exhausting.
Fine, she can direct a movie.
All right.
Okay, well, what blockbusters has she been in?
Right.
No, this is her film one at Sundance? Right, yeah. Mm. But was she on Friends or?
More on that later.
Oh, exhausting. So, declared another lose for us this year.
2020? What do you think?
2020, there's no way.
It's our year, baby.
No way it's going to be a good year. Yeah.
Yeah. There also, like, there was that study that came out, the poll, where it was like, and nobody wants to vote for Elizabeth Warren because she's a woman. And that's that.
Okay,
and then she started like plummeting in the polls because people were like, well, she's not electable because we're all sexist.
Right.
So, yeah.
How can I be sexist? I love my wife.
Well, in better news for women, Melania Trump gets her own washing machine at the Trump household.
Her husband's makeup
because her
the laundry
her husband. So we have kind of an inside report from the Washington Post about like how Trump runs his resorts, what it's like to kind of hang with him around his golf club.
Well, and also just
and also his makeup.
Well, and the story is sort of born out of this thing about the hypocrisy of his rhetoric on immigration, yet he has he's had many undocumented people working for him. Mm-hmm. And so they're kind of the article is really it's got all kinds. You'll laugh, you'll cry. The just sort of the experience of undocumented people who've been working for him goes from sort of like, it's weird that he would say stuff like this because we work for him very closely and he would like it was never like this. But then when he became president, people at like Mar-a-Lago and members would begin to like verbally abuse the staff. And be like, they're like, what the hell are you doing here? I thought you guys were going to go. He's like, I might have to call immigration on you. People are subjected to jokes like that, even if they weren't undocumented. And part of that, too, was just sort of hearing from a few of the people that worked for him as housekeepers. And yes, you realize he's very, very particular about all kinds of things, whether it was apparently in his closet. He has to have 6 identical golf outfits laid out, 6
what?
White polo shirts, 6 pairs of beige pants, 6 neatly ironed pairs of boxer shorts. And
now
then,
the white shirts, they say, is because he gets makeup smudges on the collars of his white shirts. But the pants, like, he has to be shitting himself, right?
Or I don't know. I think maybe he's just that thing where he wants to feel like Cher Horowitz in Clueless, where he like opens up a sick ass closet full of dope outfits.
Oh, I thought it would be like skid marks. I thought it was like a skid marks in issue. I don't think he would. Does he wear underwear? I feel like maybe he doesn't wear
boxers, but ironed? That's the thing I never understood. Boxers. Who the fuck is going to see your underwear like that?
Right.
So, I've never thought underwear had to be ironed. Well, is that just a rich people thing? Like everything is ironed?
I think, because I was like, I can't imagine what the function of that is.
Like, I could barely iron a t-shirt.
Iron your underwear?
Nah.
Weird.
No, because then you just sit down and your ass wrinkles
it,
right?
My ass wrinkles it, my butt crack wrinkles it.
Not mine. My ass is completely flat, so it never like wrinkles my underwear.
A cube ass.
Jack puts on the wrinkliest underwear by the end of the day. Like they're starched and pressed. Like, what the fuck? Little cube ass over here.
Old cube ass.
Cube ass Gooding Jr. So then there are other sort of weird things of his. He loves Tic Tacs as well, but not an arbitrary amount. He wanted in his bedroom bureau at all times two full containers of white Tic Tacs and one container that was half full.
That is so strange.
That's weird.
I don't even know what.
That's like some deep.
Right.
Two containers full, one half. Maybe so it always feels like you got two on deck.
Right.
Like you eat from the half full one.
Right.
And maybe he doesn't like to crack a new one, a freshie open. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of like how I would like my own neuroses. I would have
too hard to open.
Well, no, in my mind,
how the hell are you supposed to work one of these things?
In my mind, it would feel baller if I knew I had two Tic Tac canisters on deck fully.
Right,
but maybe that's
then get three Tic Tac canisters.
That's maybe one of the more relatable things I've ever
heard. Here. And then the other thing is, they
speaking
say
speaking of relatable,
the same rule applied to his Bronx Colors brand face makeup from Switzerland. That Trump would slather on. Again, same rules, two full, one half.
Two full containers.
Of how big? Are they like buckets?
Well, so a lot of people began kind
his
of
head in?
Like investigating, like, which one is it? They do know the color. It's BHC06. And it really is an orange
color.
They call it.
Why does it say boosting?
Well, that's. Okay, so that's
boosting.
What, it was a hydrating concealer, but then they suspect it might be this HDTV foundation he's actually using.
Okay.
In terms of, because it's so rust-colored, as everyone describes the makeup stains.
Mm.
God.
It looks, like something that you could get at CVS, right?
Oh, sir. Bronx Colors?
Yeah.
From Switzerland?
I have no idea. Bronx Colors.
I don't know. Maybe it's just the package design. But
I thought he'd be like Ben Nye. You know, like what you wear in high school theater?
Ben Nye?
Ben Nye is like the iconic high school theater makeup guy. I thought he would just be like Ben Nye orange.
Bill Nye's brother.
Ben Nye. Yeah, much like Luke and Mike Skywalker. Yeah.
And then also, the other thing is like he likes Irish Spring soap, but he doesn't want it like. They don't throw it out until he like whittles it down to like a shard. Like he uses the same bar over and over.
So he's incredibly wasteful of Tic Tac containers and face makeup, or maybe not wasteful of face makeup. That's just how much he uses. But then
the soap
with
he
soap, he demands that you not throw it away.
It's Irish Spring, baby. And then the other thing too is they say that Melania's dad gets a lot of his hand-me-downs because they're sort of built the same. Like they wear the same size clothing. And in 2013... he wore like a red baseball hat that Trump had discarded to everyone. They were like, he's not wearing that anymore. He wore that on the golf course. Trump pulled up to him and like just dressed him down in front of all these other
just
golfers.
Berated him.
Take the fucking hat off, you fucking hack.
I wear the red hat around here.
Yeah. And it's literally because they're like, oh shit, it's because this thing, like only he can wear the red hat.
That is.
Anyway,
does anyone
Commander
know
in Chief, salute.
That orange and red clash also? Like it's just.
I mean, tell that to Calgary Flames fans. Red and yellow.
I was going to say, that is not the color palette of the Flames.
But you'd feel like it would, orange and red-ish, they're at least, they gradiate into one of another on the
They
color
do,
spectrum.
But like face and head, it's just a bad.
Oh, yeah, like that.
Look. Face and head. Mm-mm.
The sources for the article were in Trump's villa when Melania's dad returned from being dressed down. And he threw the hat on the ground and cursed Trump, which is just a fun image to imagine. What a respectful son-in-law.
Yeah.
A good guy.
Fantastic employer. Not to sort of take away from the thrust of the article, because a lot of it really has to do with how reliant he is on undocumented workers.
Right.
And just even then, too, like the added scrutiny, like they said, it went from being a job. They're like, OK, it seemed like a place. It didn't matter that they were using like a fake social security number or whatever.
Right.
But mm-hmm. they say once he became president, it became so nerve wracking because now you have Secret Service.
Right.
They have to fuck. There's added scrutiny on top of all the people, and like people wouldn't come to work because they didn't want to lie
right.
to like a government agent mm-hmm. and give false identification and things like that. So
you could get like arrested for
right, that. Absolutely. Yeah. And so it's just a yeah. It's a really interesting read.
Mm.
Oh boy.
Check it out. We will put it in the footnotes. And we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. 2 420-foot vertical speedways, 3 launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch stratacoaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back, and Michael Bloomberg was interviewed by Gayle King, and I don't know, pretty, he had some tepid takes.
Yeah, dude, he's just the fucking, he's the centrist billionaire we all deserve.
Yeah.
To fucking guide us into the flames of hell.
I was always like, we need another centrist billionaire. Oh. I think that, like, you know,
his,
there's a lot.
His
but...
shit, just like... we'll take a few highlights.
Here's some greatest
from this.
Highlights. One of,
first, he's asked about stop and frisk, about like, yeah, you know, that like really aggressive, racially motivated campaign to just harass people on the street for being black or brown. How'd that go? And are you sorry? And he kind of goes in this thing explaining like why, you know, Gayle King is like suspects like, are you only apologizing? You've only started apologizing for stop and frisk since you've ran for president.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that leads down an interesting path.
Stop and frisk, you recently apologized for that. Some people are suspicious of the timing of your apology.
Well, the mark of an intelligent, competent person is when they make a mistake, they have the guts to stand up and say, I made a mistake, I'm sorry.
We don't question your belief that you made a mistake. I think the question is the timing that you realize you made the mistake.
Well, nobody asked me about it until I started running for president, okay. So come on.
Are you saying to people that you realize you had made a mistake before, but you just didn't mention it until now?
I think we were overzealous at the time to do it. Our intent was to do anything we could to stop the carnage, the murder rate. And what was surprising is when we stopped doing it a little bit, we thought crime would go up. It didn't. It went down.
Oh, you know,
it should have, would have, and could have.
What
right.
the f-
So that's and surprising? When we stopped doing this racist thing,
but
crime
my world
went down.
My worldview are white people good, black and brown people bad. Right. If we keep the black and brown people on their toes through police harassment, the crimes are got to stop.
Right.
The way he told Gayle King to come on. I was like,
Come on, Gayle.
You do not talk to Gayle King like that.
I wish she just ripped his face off. But
right?
It is a great thing. I like how she did keep pressing. It was like, oh, so you realized before people
asked?
Well, nobody asked me.
Right.
And I'm one of these people. I don't just tell people what my worldview is or what my values are unless I'm prompted and it's beneficial for me to take an opposing view or something different than what I used to believe. Does that make sense?
They're like, I wait until there's personal stakes. And
otherwise,
then
I talk about the asses of the women who are in the room with
right.
me. That's
otherwise,
what I talk about when
what
I'm prompted.
Self-pat on the back, too. You know, the mark of any intelligent
right.
human
competent.
Being, competent human being.
Brilliant.
is to spot an opportunity.
And milk it to the fullest extent.
And then send out a woke signal.
And deny, deny, deny.
Yeah, it's...
Thank you, Gail.
Then he... Look, if... Okay, sure. He didn't realize he had made a mistake. But then they start talking about how Cory Booker has pointed out, you know, the lack of diversity. And I bet you could... If you wanted to... Listeners right now, what could... Mike Bloomberg say about an African-American politician? What's a compliment an old white guy would give to an African-American politician? Just keep that in your mind and listen to this exchange.
The next debate is December, and Cory Booker said that it could possibly be on that debate stage, no one of color, there would be more billionaires in the race than black people. Is that a problem to you?
Cory Booker endorsed me a number of times, and I endorsed Cory Booker a number of times. He's very well-spoken. He's got some good ideas. It would
there
be
it
better
is.
The more diverse any group is, but the public is out there picking and choosing and narrowing down this field. The truth of the matter is you had a lot of diversity in the candidates, some of whom were very competent. Why they aren't there as you narrowed it down, you have to talk to other people who are experts. I don't
know. You got to talk to other people, you know. He's well-spoken.
He's well-spoken.
Hey, buddy.
Well, that's so fucking loaded.
Well, anyway, I mean, I don't think there are many Bloomberg supporters listening to this show, but hey, right. You know.
Are there many Bloomberg supporters, period?
That make less than $300,000 a year?
Yes.
I have no idea.
I think the people who are Bloomberg supporters are the ones who are doing that electability thing where they're like, okay. Well, they're electable.
Yeah.
But that's just, again, a self-reflexive way of being like, everybody thinks like I think, and my thinking is racist and sexist.
Right. I was like, is there, because I was trying to think of, is there any argument for like, Bloomberg is like positioning himself as like a people's champ. There's no way. There's no real angle for that at all.
No, just realistic. I'm the one who's like one of the other things he said in the interview was that he was looking at the field of candidates and was like, all these people are going to get eaten alive by Trump.
He's just wasting everyone's time.
The best was Gayle
time.
King, though, after she's like, are you saying that none of these people could defeat Trump? He goes, no. I was saying I would do the best out of anyone.
Right.
So, okay, buddy.
Okay, great.
Well, while we're on the subject of the Democratic field, Mayor Pete, who the most talked about in the mainstream media.
He's the Family Guy candidate.
Yeah. What?
The Family Guy candidate.
He's McFarlane endorsed. Be careful.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yes. Never mind.
We
won't talk about him.
I'm kidding.
McFarlane runs this town, Jamie.
He runs the hill. He runs the
hill. So Mayor Pete... worked for a group called McKinsey for 3 years. They're a consulting firm that has a lot of, you know, they do a lot of work for the CIA, the Pentagon, and they're very secretive. The way that you'll mostly hear this reported on is that Mayor Pete can't talk about his McKinsey time because he signed this super restrictive NDA. And he always refers back to it. He's like, I can't talk about that because of the NDA. Sorry, can't get into specifics because of the NDA. All I can say is I learned 5 really great traits that I can brag about from McKinsey. But McKinsey is basically the CIA with a business arm, or the business arm of the CIA. And yeah, that makes Mayor Pete kind of a weird candidate.
He wasn't before.
Right, but it makes me like a little suspicious. So the way I first heard about Mayor Pete, because I pointed him out as like sort of a contender like a year ago, because I had heard Obama call him out. And it, like, now that you're hearing that Obama is like, well, we can't have Bernie because Bernie is like too radical. It just seems like, you know, Mayor Pete could be this deep state like plant of the like CIA agent as president.
It's like the Billie Eilish of politics. He's an industry plant.
Exactly.
Well, he's definitely the big industry plant.
Yes.
When you look at it, I mean, or plant or not, his path, like Harvard, Oxford, McKinsey.
He has by far the most billionaire donors.
Well, and then also when you look at like who McKinsey works with, like Enron, Purdue Pharma, Yeah. Saudi Arabia.
So the worst of the worst of the
worst. Well, yeah. And also, like, their whole thing is, like, what we do is, like, we identify these really smart people. They're consultants. Then, like, right. we use, like, their educational background, their expertise, to then go around places. And, like, a lot of people describe McKinsey as, like, the greatest legitimizer of mass layoffs.
Yes.
And things like that.
Where oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, that's, like, that's just sort of, like, we advise people on how to keep your bucks flowing.
Yeah, yeah. They promote high, like, CEO pay. They, like, think that, like, leaders should be paid more. So the New York Times article is a little frustrating because it treats it as, like, man, if only Mayor Pete could talk about the specifics. Unfortunately, this NDA makes it so he can't.
How but, much like, do they talk
like,
about?
He would not want to. Like,
but then right. they yeah. eventually get into the liabilities of it. But the way they say, beyond Mr. Buttigieg's agreement with McKinsey, this is something of an awkward moment to be associated with the consultancy, especially if you happen to be a Democrat politician in an election year shadowed by questions of corporate power and growing wealth inequality. So it's like, yeah, it can be a little, quote, awkward because everyone's wokety-woke this year. And so, you know, that can be bad for him. But then they talk about, like, specifically what is, like, morally compromised about McKinsey. And they mention... the firm has long advocated business strategies like raising executive compensation, moving labor offshore, laying off workers to cut costs, and over the last couple years, reporting in the Times and other publications revealed episodes tarnishing McKinsey's once sterling reputation. Its work advising Purdue Pharma on how to, quote, turbocharge opioid sales. Its consulting for authoritarian governments in places like China and Saudi Arabia. And its role in a wide-ranging corruption scandal in South Africa. And then just this week, ProPublica, co-publishing with the Times, revealed that McKinsey consultants had recommended in 2017 that Immigration and Custom Enforcement cut its spending on food for migrants and medical care for detainees.
Right. So yeah, while I know he said that his position was dealing with, like, grocery companies or things like their grocery chains.
Yeah, for the first year and a half, that was true.
Right.
But then he was over in Iraq and Afghanistan doing consultant work.
So then, yeah, I think it's definitely good to know who he was working with. And I know he's been trying to do the transparent thing of being like, you know, please tell them who this client list is so I don't have to keep abiding by this NDA. But a lot of other people have been comparing it to how Trump is like, you can't see my finances because they're under audit right now.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
which, well, they're not.
My man, if not, like, or you can say something around it about how you feel about it now, or you can say something about McKinsey that might be like, yeah, honestly, I think a lot of the stuff that is aligned with, or like that the company's known for.
Look, I can't say those things due to my NDA. All I can say is I learned a lot of valuable lessons from McKinsey. That's what he always, like, frames it as, like, I learned a lot about the business world, and that's why I'm a centrist candidate.
And I learned the five power poses of capitalism to turbocharge your opioid sales.
Exactly.
Good Lord.
So what's the president up to? We know what he was up to recently when he was at his golf course.
Yeah, well, now there's just, like, more phone records that have come out from the House Intelligence Committee. That just shows, like, you know, Giuliani, he was saying, like, yeah, this person that says, like, White House One is the president, like, calls to the president.
Yeah, okay. And negative one is his number, right?
Right. Which is, and they're just basically
almost too perfect.
Sick risk.
Well, when they look at it.
No, literally, that's the truth.
That's
his number is negative.
Or dash one? Is it minus one?
But he's negative one?
Yeah. Minus one.
Okay. Anyway, a lot of people are saying, like, those calls, especially they were happening around the time to pressure Ukraine, obviously, to do the Biden investigations. But there's nothing about, like, what they're looking at that shows that any of those calls were encrypted or even shielded from any kind of surveillance from foreign intelligence agencies.
So he's just, like, calling people up on his mobile phone?
Yeah. And, you know, because, again, when you think about the dynamic, like, for example, a lot of people are saying, you know, it could have been Russia. We don't know that it could have been. But if you just sort of think of what's going on between Ukraine, Russia, how Russia would love Ukraine to come to the negotiating table to end the hostilities and lift sanctions, it might be beneficial to them to understand where how close Ukraine is to getting aid. That might make you more aggressive or whatever. But, you know, it all kind of, like, John Kelly, I think, was kept trying to get him to get rid of his phone and be like, dude, you cannot talk on a fucking regular phone. Like,
right.
This just doesn't work. You're the president. People are going to try to hear everything you say. He got right. what they call like a hardened phone, which has some of the like thing, any vulnerable. Yeah, phone. Almost. But it's like a phone that has some of the vulnerabilities like taken out or specially designed
right.
to possibly cut down on surveillance. But the thing they say is like, if the other person is on a regular ass phone, that doesn't protect you.
Right.
And so if you have right. Rudy Giuliani calling, and we already know he went to the fucking Apple store
to get his phone unlocked.
Yeah. Like there's no trade craft or best practices. And then they're also saying how Trump like was giving people his personal like phone number out to other world leaders, like some fucking Hollywood agent. Like, gave it out to, like, Erdogan of Turkey, gave it to Boris Johnson, Macron, like yeah, you know, why don't you just...
Hit me up, homie.
Dial the 7 digits, bruh.
Yeah.
Did you see how...
The 7 digits.
Talia Levin was texting Rudy Giuliani? Like, Rudy Giuliani is the world's most accessible man.
Oh, yeah, right.
She's a reporter that was, like, jokingly, like, hey, does anyone have Rudy Giuliani's number? She texted it. He responds, like,
wow.
Right away. This was, like, 2 weeks ago. Like,
he's ASL.
She said, hi, Rudy. Talia Levin, girl reporter speaking. Wonder if you have some
girl
time.
Girl reporter speaking? Yeah. Oh, my God. Love it. She
said, wondering if you have time to talk about some crimes. Specifically, have you done any big crimes you want to talk about? I'm here for you, Rudy. And he responds, no crimes, big or little. Just going through necessary attack by Dem cover-up media. All stupid. Let them knock themselves out. And she said, okay, but are you sure? Maybe just a little bit of crime. Crime time with the boys, am I right? And he says,
he responded to that?
He responds to everything. You can't believe how I am careful. He says, you can't believe how I am careful. I know the wolves are out there and corrupt and media capitalized, is in tank for them. And Talia says, aw, I'm not a wolf. I'm just a nice gal with a hunger for a scoop. What can you tell me about Ukraine? He says, nothing you can't read in newspapers. Rudy Giuliani is accessible. He will text anyone.
Damn,
he will text
anyone. We need
anyone
that number.
I know.
On the record. He says, this kind of texting doesn't really inspire confidence that trying to explain things to you will be terribly productive. But he like responds to her for days and days and days and days very quickly.
Wow.
He's just on his phone playing like two dots.
Button dialing. Yeah. He's doing. Oh, is that, wait, what's two dots?
Two dots. I've been playing a lot of two dots.
Oh, wait. I think
that's the game where you connect the dots.
You just
basically.
You just make squares.
Oh, love it. Love
it's
it.
Nice.
It's yeah. Fun. So, you know, very just always keeping our secured communications secure. I mean, again, if you could imagine a world where
top
this
notch.
Story comes out about a Democratic.
They're the best. He is surrounded by the best people. He is the best people.
We got them all.
Another one of his best people.
Call me my jitterbug.
Is, yeah, that's what I was wondering, like when you said like the hardened
cell phone.
If it's a jitterbug, yeah. A hardened
Maybe.
Cell phone with much larger buttons. So Betsy DeVos, I only have trouble pronouncing her name when we're recording.
How do you say it off mic? Pretend we're not recording right now.
I can't. That's impossible.
Turn it
Dan,
off,
Dan
Jack,
turn the mics
on.
Off. All right, go. Listen. What did you say?
Betsy DeVos.
There you go.
There it is. Betsy DeVos, our Secretary of Education and billionaire, looks like she's a little bit scared about the possibility that they're going to come for the student debt.
Yeah, I mean, Bernie and Elizabeth Warren have been pretty vocal about how they are planning on forgiving student debt.
Yeah,
Bernie wants to forgive everything. I think Elizabeth Warren, one of the last things she said was like up to $50,000. Which would be a tremendous burden lifted off of people.
Yes.
It's
to all
something.
Student debt gang out there.
Sure.
Just paying off interest, essentially. One thing to know is the DeVos family are very invested, heavily invested in the student loan industry.
Yes.
So it does not behoove them or help their business to suddenly be like, yeah, we're canceling a lot of this debt or we're
right.
forgiving it.
Right.
So for her, I guess what she said on last Tuesday was that this is what she tweeted out. One has to wonder, why isn't Federal Student Aid a standalone government corporation run by a professional expert and apolitical board of governors? A separate federal student aid would be better positioned to deliver world-class service to students and their families as they finance higher education. First of all, it should not be a thing you finance. That's right. Just already, I'm like, ugh, finance. It's not a fucking luxury car.
Yeah. Well, these are great investments.
It's a luxury education. Growth.
Yeah. Have you owned a student debt?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Have you ever owned a couple students?
Yeah. It's wonderful. So sick, man. But again, a lot of people are like, this is so fucking, it's just so transparently doing a thing where you're trying to shield this debt by spinning it off into an independent agency, because they know, like, a president could, without Congress, just be like, you know what? That's it.
Done, no more. And
by
done.
Doing this, this makes it a lot harder for a future president with, you know, eyes on creating a bit of a more equitable economic system here. Mm-hmm. Make it a lot difficult for them to make that happen. So just like, it shows you just again how fucking shook a lot of these people are at the real prospect of a Warren or Sanders coming into office, because they're now already trying to figure out how to fucking play a little shell game with this chunk of debt that people own. Mm-hmm. You know, but luckily that's what happens. That's why you can trust billionaires, because they look after their own and fuck everyone else.
Yeah.
Actually, no, not a good idea.
By definition, that's mm-hmm. exactly what they have done. And they have exploited the rules of the system as it exists, and they want to keep being able to exploit those.
I mean,
so
that's
they don't want to change the rules unless it benefits them.
It's just so corrupt and like violent against people who are having to pay off student loans and go into debt, because the way everything's set up, you can no longer just have a high school education traditionally there are a lot of jobs that were like provided a living wage you could raise a family off of.
Yeah.
Right now it's like barrier to entry to college. On top of that, you're going to fucking get buried in debt. And also, we're not going to let anyone even fucking try to let you off the hook for this shit that could actually stimulate the economy or make your life better, because fuck you, I'm a billionaire and I need more money.
Right.
Let's talk about Bill Barr real quick. He had an interesting week last week.
Yeah.
So he had been on this mission to create a report that would be sort of the counterpoint to all of the reports that said Trump did crimes. And
yeah.
You know, the Mueller report, which was worse than people give it credit for, the impeachment report, which came out last week and, you know, was very bad.
Yeah.
And so Barr was like, we can write a report. So he asked the inspector general to look into the origins of the FBI's Russia investigation, because, you know, there's all these conspiracy theories on the right that it was Hillary Clinton who started the Russia investigation. Mm-hmm.
Everything's based off the Steele dossier.
Right.
Yeah.
Lisa Page and Peter Strzok are FBI deep state people who hated Donald Trump so much that they somehow meddled in it. Bruce Orr is also a maniacal demon from Deep Stadia.
Right. So he finally got the report back.
Yeah, we mentioned last week when the IG report came back, and it was the opposite of what he wanted.
Right.
And then even then, there was still, you know, people were talking about this guy, John Durham, who's this prosecutor that he handpicked to also launch a separate investigation, because I think in his mind, he was like, this inspector general is too objective probably and may actually find the thing I don't want. So maybe if I handpick a guy and keep telling in his ear, man, deep state, man, you got to find where the FBI did this. They probably did all kinds of, they broke the law, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Even that guy has come back and said he could not find any evidence that the Justice Department that could support any of these theories, that it was basically on the up and up. And it was just, a total loss for Bill Barr, because he's like, fuck, I needed something that was at least give credence to the idea of what Trump and everyone on the right is saying, that Obama was wiretapping and dancing and tap-tap-tap-a-roo and fucking all this other bullshit, and he just doesn't have it. So now nothing really carries any water or weight. But the best part is last week, Matt Gaetz, before the Inspector General report came out, or the reports about what was in it, he was like out here in the impeachment hearings basically trying to be like, oh yeah, well maybe when this thing comes out, Obama, just listen to this guy act so smug, thinking that this cooked up IG report was actually going to support any of their dumb fucking theories.
And you know what? If wiretapping a political opponent's an impeachable offense, I look forward to reading that Inspector General's report, because maybe it's a different president we should be impeaching.
The gentleman's time has expired, Mr.
A different president we should be impeaching.
Is there another president?
It makes you think. It really makes you think.
Well, it's also like, again, you don't even understand how impeachment works.
Right.
Maybe. Barack Obama is not the president of the United States.
He's not impeachable at this time.
It's like,
yeah, but maybe he should be impeached. It's, what?
It's like that people who would like dig up somebody's body to then execute them for a crime, like that. That was something that used to happen. And
wait,
like,
you would exhume in, a corpse?
Yeah.
To
some... Yeah. Oh, it was a whole. Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Who was doing that?
What was it? Medieval
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, medieval times.
Yeah. That's petty,
it was
but I like
it. I know. It was like, kind of like
royal
smart.
Leaders. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like that though. You know, like, yo, you know what? Nah, right. dig that motherfucker up real quick.
Who doesn't love a good exhumed body?
Right. Have a trial with like the dead body on the pile on the
of
stand.
Bones. Well, that's a good use of government money. Just right. interrogate a pile of bones.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. I remember, I think there was like a king in Portugal that had his like wife exhumed so everyone could acknowledge her as the queen.
Yeah, yeah.
That was something
another
I feel
one,
like.
Yeah.
But I didn't, the old,
that's romantic.
The, ooh, you're in trouble, dead body. It's like, wow.
Oh,
shit.
I love
next
it.
Level pettiness.
I love it.
But I guess in the reality of those people, like, because science wasn't real, it's like, oh, they're going to feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah, their soul.
Oh, they're feeling that in hell.
They got away with it because we buried them without telling them how fucked they were.
Do they just get like reburied at the end of that? They're like, well, now you, I hope you learned your lesson. And they spike the bones back in the hole. Like, what do they,
yeah,
do
like,
they do?
Is there a respect again? Like, do you have a funeral?
No, right? You just got to just, what, throw it in?
They
must,
yeah, they probably toss it out with like the garbage or something. Mm. If you're going to go that far, I can't imagine that they're like, all right, well, now we got to respect it.
Yeah, it's like, make it worth my time.
Yeah, even though we pulled exhumed a body just to kick it a bunch.
I think one of them was executed, like re-executed or like had some punishment, like was beheaded or like something like that.
Could you imagine if someone had already been beheaded as the way they had died, and then they're like, nah,
so
we need to behead
too.
Them for this crime, and they're like, fam, it's not even a tax.
I would throw myself over the bones and be like, wait, I'm in love with them, and then see
no, not him.
Not him, that's my boyfriend.
I offer myself as tribute.
Yeah, please kill me instead. Don't like, kill him again.
No, he's dead, miss.
He's already dead one time.
He doesn't deserve this.
He doesn't deserve to feel the pain.
All right, we're gonna take a break to look up what the fuck
that was a productive
when
discussion.
This happened. Yeah, where I'm like telling you things I think I heard about history. All right, we're
it's
gonna
like
take
most
a,
podcasts, to be
yeah,
fair.
Basically, we'll be right back.
Okay.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thank you.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 Gs in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back.
Okay.
And I didn't look that up because our break was, in actuality, half a second long.
Wow.
Little peek behind the curtains.
There is a Wikipedia article on posthumous execution.
Oh, okay.
When was the most recent one?
The most recent one was the general of Gracias, a supporter of Francois Duvalier, Papa Doc.
Oh, shit.
He was exhumed and ritually beaten to death. Quote unquote, in 1986.
86?
Wow,
yeah, 86.
There were like witch killings up into, I think, in some European countries until like the 80s or 90s, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there's people who are really attached to these horrific
things. Oh, that's why I'm so glad we live in a progressive society. Vlad where we the treat witch as well.
Yes, we are pro witch society.
Vlad the Impaler was beheaded following his assassination.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's not really exhumed, but hey, what are you going to do?
You know, where is the movie about Rasputin?
It's got to be coming.
I want to do it.
Is it cursed or something? Wasn't there one in 96?
Was there? There needs to be a movie about Rasputin.
It was on HBO.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't know that. I think Alfred Molina should play Rasputin.
You know who was?
I think Robert
Evans. Ian McKellen. Ian McKellen. Ian McKellen played Nicholas II, the Tsar.
Okay.
And Alan Rickman was Rasputin.
Good Rasputin.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Dark servant of destiny. No, this looks too serious. It needs to be funny.
Rasputin's story is fucking hilarious. It needs to be like Adam McKay style. Hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
That story is wild.
Wild.
Dude, Rasputin, like a Jamaican version of Vladimir Putin?
Rasputin.
With Ross G opening.
Dark servant of destiny. Sounds like a bit much.
He was like a con man, basically, right? But then also kind of had magical powers.
He was classically like he was a con man, but he was very tall, and so everyone was like, "Maya, we should take what he has to say pretty seriously."
Didn't he have the Kavorka too?
What's the Kavorka?
Isn't that from Seinfeld about his has that animal appeal? Like, did he have like raw sexual appeal?
He was definitely a sex crim.
Yeah,
but he had like two daughters. I've read a very large Rasputin biography.
Wow.
But he took, I mean, like famously took forever to kill.
Yeah.
And I think they did shit to him after that he died too because they were just extra
just
pissed.
Like,
at
make
him.
Sure,
yeah,
that
yeah.
he was dead.
Just kick him a bunch.
Yeah.
And then I think his penis is somewhere.
This Rasputin movie was nominated for, it won Emmys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We got to watch it.
Alan Rickman won an Emmy.
Hell yeah.
I'm confused. Anyways.
All right. The power of Rasputin.
Yeah.
some dark stories from the news from last week. UPS, there was a UPS truck that was hijacked. So basically like somebody had a like movie jewel heist and like a shootout with the cops. They were escaping in a U-Haul truck. They ditched the U-Haul truck and hijacked a UPS truck. And then the cops like basically cut them off and then shot the truck like 200 times. But the driver of the UPS truck was still in the fucking truck. So
wait, so they just indiscriminately shot at the UPS truck?
Yeah, killed the driver.
Believing that the robbers were in there as well?
Oh my God.
The robbers were in there, but they knew it was a hostage situation. They were just like, fuck it. And took the, I don't know the details of what they knew when, but they shot the truck 200 times. All three of them died. And UPS issued a statement saying, "We're deeply saddened to learn a UPS service provider was a victim of the senseless act of violence. We extend our condolences to the family and friends of our employee and the other innocent victims involved in the incident. We appreciate law enforcement service and will cooperate with the authorities as they continue the investigation." That is
fucked up.
That's very dark.
Damn, and a bystander was killed too?
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, they're saying that this guy was covering for another driver's shift.
Yeah.
Too, is how he was even on that route. Frank Ordonez.
That's like insult to injury, too. Of like, and he was doing someone a favor.
Right. Doing someone a favor. And then have your fucking employer be like,
shout out
to y'all. Don't want to make it hot. Like,
right.
You don't have to necessarily come at law enforcement.
But you also don't need to like go out of your way to voice support for them after they might have
killed one of your fucking employees.
Yeah.
That's 2019. That's fucking every day now.
Chaos. That's so sad.
Yeah. In other U Corporation news, Uber has reported a shocking number of sexual assaults and 9 murders happened in their cars in 2018, I think, or
9 murders?
Yeah, 2018. Murders. 9 murders. That's wild to me.
It's I'm like, what is that? I'm I mean, like, all the ride-sharing services have, like, assault issues. And then they'll occasionally, like, make an effort to be, like, you'll get a push notification of, like, hey, if you get raped, don't be shy. Let us know. And then, like, every – I think that, like, Lyft is pretty bad with it, too, of, like, they're – I don't know. I mean, like, there's – that's just
– Tony West, Uber's chief legal officer, said in an interview – what it says is that Uber is a reflection of the society it serves.
Oh, shut up.
There's that option, or they're making more crime possible and easier to happen.
But also don't regulate us, bro.
Right, yeah.
Right, exactly.
Like, don't let them unionize either. Right. You know what I mean? Just keep it, let's keep it funky.
Don't pay a fair wage. Let's not unionize. Like, hey, murder's going to happen.
But we did build this cool button into the app if you are getting murdered.
Right.
If you're getting murdered, hit this button.
I had a friend that was in a Lyft and the driver got murdered while they were driving.
No, are you serious?
The Lyft.
What?
Yes. This was, I think. Anna, did you hear about this?
Is it a carjacking?
I don't know what the circumstances were, but it was like a friend of mine and their friend were getting a ride home from wherever, and their like driver was shot and killed while they were driving.
Like, oh, I don't. That has to be so traumatic.
Holy shit!
But that was Lyft, so this is not even a part of this story.
Well, yeah, it's worth noting.
It's happening. It's happening.
We're talking about Uber, right?
It's worth noting that Lyft isn't releasing any of these statistics for their company.
I have a great reason why that might be true.
Because their drivers get murdered.
It's not just passengers getting killed, folks. It's the drivers as well.
Yeah. The murder victims, this article notes, were drivers, passengers, and third parties in cases of rape. Uber said 92% of the reported victims were riders.
Yeah, because, I mean, initially it was sort of like, do you have a car? Then you can drive anyone.
Oh, for sure.
And now they're like, oh, right. We should probably start screening some of these people before we're saying we're providing a safe ride anywhere.
Yeah, especially it's a product that is like, at least partially designed to help drunk people get home at the end of the night.
Right, right.
That is going to end with a lot of people being assaulted.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that the limited safety measures that they've added have been helpful, but they all kind of like ring a little hollow and feel kind of half-assed and more they don't want to be, they'll do just enough to not be regulated and then kind of bury the rest.
And or doing just enough to stay somewhat profitable, although they lost like $1.2 billion last quarter.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
That's kind of par for the course for them, isn't it? Like, aren't they one of those companies that is just hemorrhaging money and people are like, great investments.
So many companies are because, they have to make it affordable to enough people that people will use it. Like, if they were doing it to purely be profitable, then these businesses probably wouldn't exist. So they'd like self-subsidize.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, Clint Eastwood has a new movie coming out.
And it's starring the guy from I, Tonya that I liked.
I know.
Which one was he in I, Tonya?
He was Sean. No, he was Sean, the Galooly's friend.
Oh, that guy was good.
That guy was so
good. Great
in
that movie. I'm bummed that he's in this movie.
Is this on Netflix, the new movie?
No,
Richard Jewell?
It's a
full-on regular
theatrical release.
Kathy Bates.
John Hamm.
Olivia Wilde. Man, everyone's disappointing
me. Sam Rockwell.
Why is everyone letting me down?
So,
because it's Clint Eastwood,
It's a good story. I mean, the true story is fucked up. Like
about the Olympic
guy.
Park
Yeah,
bomber.
So it's about the guy who...
Richard Jewell?
Richard Jewell found...
J-U-U-L.
Found, like, one of the bombs and, like, reported it and, you know, was just a security guard. And the police and the media like really started kind of they couldn't come up with a theory on who it was, so they just blamed him because they knew the public would like to have like somebody to like pin the narrative on. And like the guy ended up being innocent and like he had his life completely ruined by the FBI and the media. The FBI and the media, not always correct, guys.
No.
But
unless they're killing civil rights leaders.
But because Trump is, you know, has made the media and the FBI his enemies. Some people are seeing this as sort of a MAGA screed, and there are some details in there that are
anti-fake news.
Yeah. So the main journalist is played by Olivia Wilde, and they imply that she used sex to get her story tips.
No.
And had a past sexual relationship with an FBI agent played by John Hamm, and they totally made that up in the movie.
Oh, that was where they took their creative license to alter the truth?
Yeah.
Based on a true story that I've made up.
Yes.
Sick.
Isn't he going to run out of, I don't know. I'm surprised he's still functioning. Like, as a director and shit at this point.
And he's still putting out, like, he put out a movie last year, too. He put out that Bradley Cooper movie that it was him and Bradley Cooper were, like, father and son.
Oh, yeah. Wait, was that The Mule?
Or he
was
just,
Bradley Cooper's in that?
Bradley Cooper's in that. He really downplayed the fact that he was in that.
Yeah.
He's, like, one of the main characters.
I mean, who could forget that him, his acting with that baby doll in American Sniper?
Bradley Cooper's a weird man. That's a bummer. I think then the nice thing about Clint Eastwood movies is that no one sees them anymore, and right. No one really gives a fuck about.
Well, it's for a very specific set of consumer. Like everyone, if you grew up, if you were in, let's say your adolescent years, and Clint Eastwood was popping like back then, chances are he's an old person now who's like, yep, I've loved him since he's like The Rock. To the elderly men of this country.
Yeah, he makes movies for people who are dying soon.
Right.
And that's, you know, There's a market for that. I don't have time to be annoyed at Clint Eastwood. I'm like, man.
Would you be in a Clint Eastwood film?
No.
But it's Clint Eastwood, Colin.
That's the thing, is like I have no attachment to Clint Eastwood. It doesn't seem
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Westwood. Clint Eastwood ever called me up to be in a movie, it would be to play some deeply problematic, like racist caricature of like somebody from nameless Asian country. I should have been in Gran Torino.
I should have been in Mystic River.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Fucking, where's my daughter?
Where's my daughter?
Is my daughter in there?
Give my daughter back to me.
Unforgiven is still one of my favorite movies, but I didn't realize how, like, the last political statement that he made that I was aware of was his speaking to the empty chair that was meant to represent Obama for some reason
what?
In the 2012 election. And apparently, I should have been paying more attention because Eastwood did support Trump just ahead of the 2016 election.
I'm surprised you didn't know that, or you're surprised.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Yeah, I guess I am surprised, just because that's like a because
you should be a Hollywood elite, man.
Right.
I just looked up Clint Eastwood's recent filmography. People are still seeing his movies, guys.
American Sniper is like a huge was.
I have not
a monster hit.
I think I've only seen Mystic River and Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah,
that's it. I like Million Dollar Baby.
Yeah, because it supported your liberal ideas that we should all be able to kill each other.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
He says that he supported Trump because society is, quote, in a pussy generation where everyone's too sensitive.
Grandpa, stop.
And then he said, when I grew up, those things weren't called racist. He literally said that phrase.
That should be the name of his next movie.
When I grew up, those things weren't called racist. He was born in 1930, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, motherfucker, people didn't even have rights then.
That was before the civil rights
1930. They didn't call things racist. Right. You call them coloreds or other. What is this?
Bitch retire, but you know he won't.
Yeah.
Then he always said he, when people were talking about how Donald Trump's just so offensive, he said, "Just fucking get over it."
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Thank you, King. Richard Jewell, Kathy Bates.
I thought it was gonna be about jeweling.
Yeah,
I know. I would love to see
a movie about Jewel.
Richard Jewell.
Richard J-U-U-L.
You know, I'm gonna. I don't know. I want to give.
Jewell.
I want to give Paul Walter Hauser a pass, man. I really like him. I hope he's not a secret Republican.
Well, I also think too. You know, like if you're really trying to make it as an actor, like you
have to do.
You have to fucking eat shit.
He's you know, in like, he's in Cruella. No... Guys, we're all going to forgive him when Cruella comes out.
Who's in Cruella?
Paul Walter Hauser, Richard Jewell.
Who's playing Cruella in Cruella?
Emma Stone.
Oh, which...
It's the Cruella DeVille origin story.
And it's directed by the director of I, Tonya.
Oh my God.
It's going to be fun.
Jamie Loftus will be living in a movie theater.
So much.
It's going to be a romp. Wait, why?
That's what they gave the I, Tonya director to do next.
Oh, yeah. It sucks for him.
Yeah, it sucks for him.
He has to direct Cruella.
That person could have directed a good movie.
But hey, maybe it's gritty.
Maybe
like,
Cruella
fuck.
Will be the 2020s Joker.
Oh, my God.
We do live in a society.
Yes. We do live in a society.
That's where Cruella comes in.
Yeah.
Right. So let's... I stan
a cruel queen.
I stan...
I hope that they girl boss her out.
Can you imagine?
Real quick, let's talk about Peloton. So that ad that I was certain had been done intentionally to like go viral, but be bad.
To get like more name recognition?
Just, I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed so, like the performance was so weird and uncanny and the whole idea behind it was so strange. But apparently they have lost... over $1 billion since that ad broke.
In response to that? Or because I know they've been in trouble,
it's
though,
unclear.
Too, financially.
So they also lowered their prices.
Right.
But that lowering of the prices is part of like also a marketing push to like make it more of a broadly adopted thing. So it's like part of the same strategy. It's like, well, we won't charge as much and instead we'll reach everyone with our amazing messaging. Like this ad.
What a gamble.
Yeah.
I mean, again, so many people were looking at that ad and being like, this isn't real. There's nothing real about like the ad. Not to say that all ads are reality based, but like you're saying, it really felt like this weird dream world where everything was perfect. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Like, where's the dude who's like 36 and like tried to play pickup basketball and just cardio was all fucked up and got mad. He started looking at his old high school yearbook. He's like, I used to have it. And then he gets on his Peloton and starts singing all the people that have made fun of him in the past and about his ED and his lack of hair. He's balding and he's trying to do it better by his life and become more healthy and fit. I think that would be something that would resonate with people.
Whoa.
So the ad should have been about you.
Who?
What?
Oh.
No, not you.
Jack, that was really mean.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh my God.
Well, yeah. That would have been nice if it was about me.
The thing that I've like, the ad is so deeply sad. Like it's like one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen. Like the woman, like yes, she has like a like what would be considered a perfect life on Instagram, but it also is completely devoid of meaning, and it like just seems like she's just finding these artificial ways to like give meaning to her life, and then she's making a video about the fact that her life had no meaning until this Peloton bike was given to her by her husband, who apparently was
doesn't
like
talk.
Your life is empty here too.
I wonder if at the
I
end
I love a good wife guy. He's a good
I love my Peloton wife.
I love my stationary bike wife.
Yeah, he doesn't talk. I mean, it would have been fitting. It seemed like the momentum of that commercial, like at the end where they're watching the video of her being like, and it's like so great for my life. He'd be like, all right, now get your ass back on that bike.
Right.
I got to go do my nameless job somewhere. To make $1 billion.
I got to go back to... browsing Ashley Madison.
Weren't they like saying though they were trying to prove that like people did like the commercial or something? Like where they were like, yo, this commercial's fucked up, and they're like, well, no.
Yeah, they
people
were
like
people just misinterpreted it and here's proof. And they sent like a handful of emails they received from people being like, yes, that is my life.
That is and that's even sadder.
Well, what about this one from Shell Gasoline Sandwich?
And a single Facebook post. A single Facebook post.
For the spend on that fucking ad, and all you could dig up is one shitty receipt on Facebook.
One supportive Facebook post.
What was it by supportive being like? Well, I thought it was okay.
It was from a woman who liked the ad. Yeah.
Oh well, I mean, if a woman says so, then they're off the
hook. I mean, as a father to a woman, I believe this is fair. The whole thing again.
This is new to me. I didn't know that this was a thing.
The commercial?
Yet?
Yeah, I haven't seen the Peloton yet.
Hold on. Dan, let's pause 1 second. Yes. You have to see this.
All right, we're going to pause for a moment. Jamie's going to watch it, and then we'll start recording again.
Okay. That is very... It's just like the... She doesn't have a job?
She came home from somewhere.
She did come home from somewhere wearing high-heeled shoes.
Are you surprised, Jamie?
I am.
Oh, my God. Wow. And then at the end, does it imply that she has a son? She has a kid?
Yeah, she has a kid. Yeah.
She has abandoned her. Her kids are starving. Yeah.
Her life is meaningless.
If you look in the back, you can see the child slowly wither away.
There's like one kid that's passed out from like... That's... What? And then the husband just comes in at the end.
Yeah.
Just to be baby. Yeah. That's right, baby.
Yeah.
You get back on that bike.
And then he like gets on the phone to brag to his friends. It's amazing, dude. I got her a bike and now she's like totally hot.
She looks like she's made out of granite and she's totally off my fucking back. You're just like... Who wrote that? That wasn't.
And then her like weird book report video at the end. It's like that's the other part. I need you to make a vlog. Like where they're shitting down. Like it's a vlog. Class project.
And bring it to him. Well,
what do you think?
And I think that's the saddest part for me is they do when they first reveal that what we're watching is a vlog of her journey getting a Peloton and using the Peloton that she has made for her husband, it cuts out and she's looking at her husband with like such like anxiety. Like, is he going to like it? Video that I made for him.
Can I have our pin number?
Yeah, have I done good?
Oh my
God. Can I have our pin number? Yeah. He's like, he changes the pin number every week.
Oh right. My God.
And if she bikes enough.
Can I have financial autonomy in this relationship?
She gets the pin number if she bikes enough. And she makes a good book report.
I tell you, the pin number is going to be 1018. When your weight on that scale reads 101.8 pounds.
My God. That is
like the kind of shit, like,
right.
That is disturbing. Like, there's no point in history where that commercial would make sense.
Right.
It's not like, oh, it's like they're making a commercial 40 years ago. Like,
no.
Or it's not, it doesn't make any sense. She has a job.
It's a completely new, weird, like, Black Mirror type. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Man, you know, though, I think if I got married, I would give my spouse homework. You know, it seems like he got her a bike and he gave her fucking homework. I'm like, does she get to give him homework?
Right. No, definitely not.
No.
She's just concerned that her honey is pleased with the video.
He's got one of their kids locked in a panic room. And he's like, I will give you the combination once you hit 100 miles on the bike.
Just a simmering level of like anxiety that exists in that household.
There's a kid in a panic room in that house, guaranteed.
For certain.
Right. It's just so, a lot of people, I mean, some people are like, it's not so bad because it's sexist. Well, but they're saying it's bad because of the copywriting. Okay, sure. I don't know. The copywriting is also bad, but they're saying how it goes from like, a present story of coming down the stairs, but she's covering her own eyes. You know what I mean? And then it's a scene switch she's on the bike, but filming herself. And now it forces the audience to be like, well, then who are we to this person with this perspective switch? And then like,
well, then that suggests that at the unveiling of the present, she like set up a camera to be like, this is the big moment when I get my present, but she had to do all of the things I would imagine, right?
Yeah.
Like, right. Oh, for
she's
sure.
She's covering her own eyes.
And then but then they're saying, like, are we the collective we? Are we the husband in this? We're looking at the video she's basically filming for him.
Right. Well, I think that
so it's all as they say in the thread, all her work, .. is for us.
Right.
Like, and we are looking at her tormented eyes as the husband.
She does look like she's about to cry in every single shot.
Yeah.
It seems like she's like on the verge of.
Her eyebrows are very expressive.
Yeah. And like her eyes are kind of glassy too. Like she.
And then they go and they say, the story isn't a personal journey. She does not change. She does not overcome. She does make a lot of facial expressions at us/the husband stand-in.
The
star of the commercial, who it's all for, is the passive buyer of the product, not the user.
Right.
I think that there's like a... Have you guys seen Parasite?
Yes.
I think that's happening.
Yes.
That's happening.
It's a very Parasite.
Happening.
on the level with that. Like, it is as it gets at the same like pit in my stomach that movie gave me.
Yeah, right? You're like, yeah. Now let's explore the house. Let's see what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Parasite's so good, huh?
Parasite, yeah.
I got the screener, but I feel like I need to see it in the theater.
You should see it in the theater. I'm gonna see it today.
Today, again? Junior?
Yeah, I just got stubs.
Hell yeah.
I just got stubs.
Uh-oh.
Did the stubs.
Durante turn you?
Durante turn me. I got stubs.
You got bit by a radioactive Durante?
I got
Jamie, it's been a pleasure, as always, having you. Where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on the internet. On Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, on Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. And I guess I'll just let everyone know when Steve Jobs' ghost approves this new podcast. But yeah. You can listen to the trailer in some places.
Where at?
Right now. You can listen to it on Spotify and Google Podcasts. It's called My Year in Mensa. And then, once everything is all sorted out, it will come out sometime this month. So pre-sub if you use those things.
And it's going to be good as
you're
fuck.
In the sub club.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Ooh. Oh, do you use our voiceover?
Did I? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, you're in it.
You might hear some familiar voices.
And Sophie's in it. Dear Dan is in it. Robert's in it. Danny's in it. Iffy's in it. Jaquise is in it. Everyone's in
it. Wow.
I don't have a tweet that I want to share.
Great.
Bravely.
We'll take your time.
Yeah.
Palmdale,
yeah.
Come back to me.
Oh, here it is. Matt Rogers. Matt Rogers at Matt Rogers though tweeted, "Kamala's essence lives on in Star Wars: Galaxy's Edge." I don't know what it means, but it made me laugh.
Well, now you're a fair weather Star Wars fan.
I am.
Yeah,
I am. Oh, wait, guys, it's gonna be big.
Oh man, when Luke Skywalker, oh my God, it's gonna be crazy.
Do you remember when his aunt and uncle and we thought Mikey died
exactly.
as well, but
and then
it turned out he did it.
And then Rilo Kiley is actually the son of Ham Soda and Princess Leia
and Princess Elena.
It's
yeah.
so crazy. Oh, I love it.
It's good. It's good.
Okay.
Miles, where can people find you? And what's the tweet you've been enjoying, bro?
Find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Also find me on my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance, with Sophia Alexandra. It's a recap / game show where we talk about our favorite reality garbage TV show, 90 Day Fiance. Get in while you can. You know, be a K1, a day one, for a listener. A tweet that I like.
A tweet?
A tweet, I quote. One is from Reductress, at Reductress. It says, "I don't want a president I can have a beer with. I want a president who has perioded in her pants." Very good to know. Also, Blair Saki, "If I do end up marrying a comic, it's going to feel like losing a bet to every single person I've ever met." Would you ever marry a comedian?
No.
Do you have a rule? Like, would you ever say, "I would never marry another comedian"?
Well, everyone makes that rule and then everyone breaks that rule. I've dated a lot of comedians and it's never been a good idea.
Okay. Yeah. Moving on. Sorry.
Yeah. Bad idea. Wouldn't recommend it.
So Netflix US at Netflix tweeted, "What's something you can say during sex, but also when you manage a brand Twitter account?" And Kettle Brand Chips tweeted, "You can go elbow deep in me." And then Joel Nylian tweeted, relatable brands tweeting about fisting. you can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
This is a track from Young Bae, BAE. Okay, get it right. And it's called "I Want Ya Back." Want cha back. And look, hey, starting the week, get your shoulders going, get your hips moving, get your toes tapping, and you know, just keep on keeping on. And keep checking in with us, because we love you.
All right, The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is gonna do it for today. We'll be back this afternoon with another quick check-in, Daily Zeitgeist Trends, and then another podcast tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. Bye.
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 right, gang? You like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.